The title of this cycle of poems, which I started almost exactly 40 years ago, comes from a type of Far Eastern landscape scroll called Mountains and Rivers Without End Scrolls. So I'm going to read selections tonight. It's impossible to read it all. That I hope will give you all a sense of, a sort of an outside sense of how it moves. And it's very diverse, and it's really weird. So. and it's not easy to follow sometimes, but that shouldn't bother anybody. As Keats says, let's have no irritable grasping after reason. Opening with some quotations. The notion of emptiness engenders compassion. Milarepa. And an ancient Buddha said, a painted rice cake does not satisfy hunger. A painted rice cake does not satisfy hunger. Dogen, the great Zen philosopher, comments, ah, there are few who have even seen this painting of a rice cake, and none has ever thoroughly understood it. The paints for painting rice cakes are the same as those for painting mountains and waters. If you say the painting is not real, then the material phenomenal world is not real. The Dharma is not real. Unsurpassed enlightenment is a painting. The entire phenomenal universe and the empty sky are nothing but paintings. Since this is so, there's no remedy for satisfying hunger other than a painted rice cake. Without painted hunger, you can never become a true person. Part one, endless streams and mountains, qi, shan, wu, jin. Clearing the mind and sliding in to that created space, a web of waters streaming over rocks, air misty but not raining, seeing this land from a boat on a lake or a broad slow river coasting by. The path comes down along a lowland stream, slips behind boulders and leafy hardwoods, reappears in a pine grove. No farms around, just tidy cottages and shelters, gateways, rest stops, roofed but unwalled workspace, a warm, damp climate. A trail of climbing stair steps forks upstream. Big ranges lurk behind these rugged little outcrops, these spits of low-ground rocky uplifts, layered pinnacles aslant, flurries of brushy cliffs receding, far back and high above, vague peaks. A man hunched over, sitting on a log. Another stands above him, lifts a staff. A third, with a roll of mats or a lute, looks on. A bit offshore, two people in a boat. The trail goes far inland. Somewhere back around a bay, lost in distant foothill slopes, and back again at a village on the beach and someone's fishing. A rider and a walker cross a bridge above a frothy braided torrent that descends from a flurry of roofs like flowers, temples tucked between cliffs. A side trail goes there, a jumble of cliffs above, ridge tops edged with bushes, valley fog below a hazy canyon. A man with a shoulder load leans into the grade. Another horse and a hiker. The trail goes up along cascading stream bed. No bridge in sight. Comes back through chinquapin or liquid ambars. Another group of travelers. Trails end at the edge of an inlet. Below a heavy set of dark rock hills. Two moored boats with basket roofing, a boatman in the bow looks out, lost in thought. Hills beyond rivers, willows in a swamp, a gentle valley reaching far inland. The watching boat has floated off the page. At the end of the painting, the scroll continues on with seals and poems. It tells a further tale. Wang Wenwei saw this painting at the mayor's house in Hotung Town, year 1205. Wrote at the end of it, "The fashioner of things has no original intention. Mountains and rivers are spirit condensed. Who has come up with these miraculous forests and springs? Pale ink on fine white silk." Later that month, someone named Li Hui added, "Most people can get along with the noise of dogs and chickens. Everybody cheerful in these peaceful times. But I, why are my tastes so odd? I love the company of streams and boulders." Tian Xie of Wei Lo, no date, next wrote, "The water holds up the mountains. The mountains go down into the water." In 1332, Zhu Shun adds, "This is truly a painting worth careful keeping. And it has poem colophons from the Song and Qin dynasties. That it survived dangers of fire and war makes it even rarer." That was in 1332. In the mid-17th century, Wang To had a look at it. He wrote, "My brother's relative by marriage, Wan Sun, is learned and has good taste. He writes good prose and poetry. My brother brought over this painting of his to show me." The great Qing dynasty collector Liang Qinbiao owned it, but did not write on it or cover it with seals. From him, it went into the imperial collection down to the early 20th century. It was brought by Chiang Kai-shek and the Kuomintang by train and boat to Taipei in 1944. Zhang Dajian, a Taiwanese art dealer, sold it in 1949. Today, it is at the Cleveland Art Museum, which sits on a rise that looks out over the waters of Mount Erie. Step back and gaze again at the land. It rises and subsides. Ravines and cliffs like waves of blowing leaves. Stamp the foot, walk with it, clap, turn. The creeks come in, ah, strain through boulders. Mountains walking on the water. Water ripples every hill. I walk out of the museum. Low gray clouds over the lake. Chill March breeze. Old ghost ranges, sunken rivers, come again. Stand by the wall and tell their tale. Walk the path, sit the reins. Grind the ink, wet the brush. Unroll the broad white space. Lead out and tip the moist black line. Walking on walking, underfoot, earth turns. Streams and mountains never stay the same.